in the altcoin season, if you are not searching for crypto gems on KuCoin, you're doing it wrong. As the home of altcoins, KuCoin is offering over 600 tradable coins. Whether you are a beginner or professional trader, you can always find a good product fit on KuCoin, ranging from earning products with passive income to derivatives trading with up to 100 times leverage. Sign up today to find the next crypto gem in DeFi, GameFi, NFT, and Metaverse. Join us with 10 million global investors and claim your $500 welcome bonus now. Welcome to KuCoin. It's KuCoin. Sign up to get a 500 USDT welcome bonus.
Welcome to the CoinGecko podcast. I'm your host, Bobby Young. Each week, we'll be interviewing someone from the blockchain industry to learn more about this fast-moving cryptocurrency economy. If this is your first time listening, then thanks for coming. The CoinGecko podcast is produced each week to help you stay ahead of the curve. Show notes can be found at podcast.coingecko.com. I highly encourage you to join our newsletter where we send out top news in the crypto industry every Monday to Friday. Come back often and feel free to add the podcast to your favorite RSS feed or iTunes. You can also follow us on Twitter and Telegram at CoinGecko.
Hello everyone, my name is Ben, and as usual, I am the host of today's podcast. Today, we have a very special guest. His name is George and the co-founder of Step Finance. Welcome to the podcast, George.
Thank you very much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yeah, you know, so before we get started, I always like to start off with the participants introducing themselves. So if you could just tell us a little bit about your background, how you got started in crypto, that'd be great.
Yeah, absolutely. So I've been in crypto for quite a while now, probably like 11 years. I was initially one of the first Bitcoin miners.
Wow.
Sort of building OG things myself. Yeah, buying stuff off eBay and getting it done back in the day. So look, from there, I graduated into starting with a friend, one of the first Bitcoin remittance companies, did that for many years. And have seen so many market cycles along the way. And it wasn't really until like 2019 or so that I really sort of got stuck into DeFi and stuff like that. That was really interesting to me. And that sort of led to where we are now at Step Finance and starting Step from a hackathon last year, one of the Solana hackathons. So like the journey has been quite long. The journey has been everything in between. And yeah, seen a lot of market cycles, seen a lot of things. And yeah, I'm just happy to be here every day. It, nothing else I would rather be doing, to be honest.
So I guess, you know, kind of a segue, a little tidbit, because, you know, we're kind of in the bear market now. You know, before we get into Step Finance and the Solana ecosystem, do you have any comments or thoughts on where we are now?
Yeah, it's I guess it's just another one of these things, which is just the same as every other time where it happens. So you get these bear cycles, right? And you get the froth, which comes from them beforehand in the bull cycles. So like you see that like pre-2016, nobody really cared about coins. Like it was really just Bitcoin and maybe a few other things. Then 2017 came along. We had a lot of other different ICOs and everything like that. And then it was booming and everyone had a coin. And then 2018, it kind of just went to zero and everything just collapsed. So I think that this year's kind of sort of looking a bit more like a 2018, where a lot of the froth from the previous years being sort of washed out. Having said that, like a lot of NFT stuff is still powering along. There's still communities that are growing and doing well. So that's a little sort of a weird thing, I guess, that's different this cycle. But I think it's probably, it might take a while for things to return to how they were. But that's okay, because I think it means that people need to focus on the good projects, which hang around, you know, they're there every cycle. And they will just keep building, they'll keep doing stuff. And then, you know, a couple of years later, they'll be in an even better position than they are now. So, yeah. It's happened before, so it'll happen again.
Yeah, like you said, it's the time to build. And, you know, this kind of model we've been having at CoinGecko as well. You know, our bosses hunkered us down and, okay, guys, you know, bear cycle is coming. It's time to build. A lot more peaceful now, but yeah, let's build.
Peaceful is a good word for it as well, yeah.
All right, all right. Okay, so enough of that. Now let's get into the meat of the subject today, which is actually SAP Finance. And like you mentioned, you initially had SAP Finance, you know, at a hackathon for a Solana hackathon. So tell me about it.
Yeah, so back when sort of Solana was really starting to gain traction and really sort of stand out from the crowd, that was really sort of early 2021. And there was only a couple of different platforms already deployed on Solana. There was an AMM and there was Serum, an order book DEX. And that was about it. And that's when SBF started tweeting about it. And then people were like, oh, okay, what's this other L1? And from there, from like February, March, there was one of the hackathons that we participated in. We initially started as a DCA contract. We wanted to just be a place where you could put like stable coins and then you could just automatically buy whatever coin you wanted at some schedule, like every day or once a week or something like that. And it wasn't possible to do it on Ethereum because it was way too expensive. And then all of the L2s didn't really exist, although Matic did exist, Polygon, but it was like, it didn't have any liquidity in all the different coins. So like, yeah, it wasn't really viable. So then we'd actually looked at Solana, and Solana had a lot of the wrapped coins for literally everything. And there was liquidity because Alameda was market making there. So we were like, wow, okay, well, you can literally buy anything that you want and it's cheap and like it's got the liquidity there. So that's why we started. And from that hackathon, you know, we built out that MVP, but really we saw that what Solana was lacking was like one place where you could see everything. So all of these different protocols, where's your money at? Maybe it's in this farm or that farm. And back then, that's when yield farms were like taking off, and that, that was the whole thing. So just tracking where your money's at so you don't forget was important. So we pivoted to build Step out for that. And essentially Step started as a portfolio manager dashboard. So it's our job for the last year and a half has been every new protocol that launches, it needs to get integrated into the dashboard. That means we need to have custom integrations for everyone across the entire ecosystem. So literally everything on Solana, we try and integrate with. I think at the moment we have about 95% coverage. And Step at the moment is the number one portfolio manager dashboard on Solana. And that's, I guess, you know, it's a lot of hard work. We also sort of, as well, we think, okay, what's one way that this could be monetized? You know, this is a useful thing, which is all very well and good. And people like go to the page every day to find out information, but you got to pay the bills somehow. So how do you do that? And our sort of initial thoughts was, well, we can add on like little DeFi things here and there. So it might be like an auto compound button. Like you press that, it charges a fee and it auto compounds the yield for you in one of the yield farms. So it like claims the rewards, splits it into half, sells half, restakes it back into the AMM and does that all in one transaction. So stuff like that, settling balance is another thing. There's a couple of other things that we're looking to do. But in a bear market, you know, people are clicking less buttons and people are doing stuff. So that's why now we've the new direction for Step has been in data. And essentially what we think our strengths are is all of these little weird integrations that we've built up over the last year or so. Like what's the APY of some random coin in some random farm? Like what's the lending rates of this? Or lots of different stuff that that we've been able to build through our integrations and really indexing that and then presenting it to people. So that's sort of where we're going. We recently had an acquisition of an NFT data analytics platform, Solana Floor, which we may talk about later, but that's sort of getting us on the path of data analytics and niche sort of specialized stuff, which nobody really does at the moment. There's a lot of people that might tell you analytics about the blockchain, like how fast is it, whatever, or like what's a whale address doing. But there's no one giving you like really sort of low-level insights into, okay, what's this yield? What's the yield on this options vault protocol over the last 3 months or something like that? That's what we're going for.
I mean, it's interesting because it's kind of like what ETH already has, Dune Analytics, right? It's kind of going along those lines. But for Dune Analytics, it's not really convenient for most people because they don't know how to query, don't know how to use SQL. And you have to hope that some Anon has built a dashboard for your particular protocol that you can get the data for. But other than that, it's pretty much non-existent, I think. And so I suspect that's what your team is trying to... Is that the direction you guys are heading towards to? A Dune analytics, but it's for everyone, right? Anyone can just view whatever they want.
Yeah, it's a good point. So I guess in the analytics space, you've got, say, Nansen, Dune, Glassnode, some of the notable names. I would say Step is maybe closer to Nansen than it is, say, Dune, whereby essentially Dune allows you to just go and create your own dashboard. And as you say, like, you need to know the SQL queries and stuff like that. But if you don't know that, then you're kind of stuck. So I think a lot of people just want to get the information. They want to get the alpha. They want to get like the insights and stuff like that. So then it's kind of on people like Nansen to like pre-create a bunch of data analytics, which they think that you care about. I guess the differentiator between us and them would be like Nansen's really good at providing you what we would say like level one and level two data. So that's level one, I would say, is like, hey, the blockchain is doing this. And, you know, this is how many validators are in the network. And this is how many people are liquid staking or something. Cool. A lot of people have that. That's great, but it's necessary. Number two is more of the niche insight. So things like, what are the whales doing? You know, this whale wallet, everyone's aping into this particular wallet, you know, that sort of stuff. That's hugely valuable. But I would say level three is kind of where we would step in, which is it's kind of what is the individual yield of this particular protocol over here over the last 6 months. And to do that, you have to have an integration with that protocol and be indexing. So it's you can't just like look on chain and go, oh, look, that's a contract. Yeah, you have to like have the different APIs and SDKs integrated and so on. So like all levels are necessary. It's just that I think our sort of niche that we want to focus on is just in this like project specific stuff. And then, sort of be showing people analytics that make sense and for those things.
Yeah, you know, as an analyst, I really would love your product because I think that's my biggest issue in the space. And it's trying to find granular data or, you know, data you can draw more useful insights. Otherwise, it's all, like you said, the level one, level two data, because we just don't have the time to find the level three data. It takes too much time.
Yeah. And like someone's got to do the integration, right? And someone's got to do the hard work. So it's like either you got to do that from scratch or you got to find somewhere that's already done it for you. And it's just a lot of work.
So, you know, because of your position in the Solana ecosystem and Stack Finance, there are also a couple of more broader questions I have in mind based on your experience with Stack. So like you mentioned, you integrated about 95% of the ecosystem, which is pretty amazing. So do you have any interesting statistics or insights that you can share that you have seen, you know, in the Solana ecosystem in terms of trends? I don't know, anything at all kind of makes them stand out from other L1s.
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, there's a lot of L1s going around and like, why Solana? Mm-hmm. I would say that, look, Solana has a lot of good things going for it, which perhaps others don't. And I think that comes in critical mass. So when we're talking about critical mass, what do I mean? It's like it's liquidity, it's number of protocols, it's devs. And in the case of Solana, like if you say the AMM is a particular vertical, right? There's not just one, there's like six. Lenders, there's about six or seven. Perpetual futures protocols, there's about three or four. Options protocols, there's about four. And, you know, order book DEXs, Serum, there's many different front ends for Serum as well. So in that case, like Solana has a lot of the DeFi stuff covered already. And unlike, say, an L2 with Ethereum or something like that, the liquidity is all addressable within the same layer and the same transaction. So if you're on a roll-up somewhere on Ethereum, you can't actually initiate a transaction somewhere else in the Ethereum L1 because you've got to cross the bridge. So that liquidity is siloed and it's kind of like in its own little world, which like that's pretty bad, right? Because then you can't build composable contracts that utilize that. Mm-hmm. Whereas on Solana, everything is addressable on the L1. So I think that's a really good benefit. Number two, I guess one of the data points that we're seeing is NFTs are doing really, really well. And the stuff on Magic Eden, so the average Magic Eden user transacts 7 times more often than the average OpenSea user.
Wow. Now,
it's a lot. Like, so we recently had that in one of our newsletters that we looked at the different data behind that. And I think that was a really cool insight. So on some levels, like Magic Eden has done more volume than OpenSea on most days.
Yep.
It has more activity and this kind of stuff. So I think that's one area which is clearly growing on Solana and is doing really, really well. So yeah, I guess why are people transacting more? It's probably because of the speed and the low fee kind of thing, because you can't really do a $2 NFT on Ethereum. I mean, maybe you can now because gas is really low, but even so, it's not as viable as paying just like half a cent in Sol every single time. So I think there's like particular use cases where that becomes interesting. So yeah, I would say like, the rise of NFTs has been one of the really sort of interesting things to see. None of us predicted that that would be a thing that that happens.
Yeah.
But that's maybe a bit of a differentiator to other L1s, is having like a mega sort of marketplace, a lot of activity like that.
Yeah, it's really interesting that you bring that up, because that's kind of really aligns with the data that we've been looking at CG as well. Like you mentioned, Solana NFTs can outperform OpenSea on a lot of days nowadays. And I just think it also boils down to cultural acceptance, right? So I think Ethereum blockchain is kind of more elitist, you know, those where the rich wills. And so, you know, the community is bigger, but that doesn't mean other blockchains can't catch up. And I think Solana NFTs are also here to stay. I myself have been trying to get into the game, in the NFT game on Solana. But yeah, it's a whole new world.
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah. And I think there's lots of like supporting infrastructure for that now as well. So what do I mean by that? There's like places where you can like borrow out your NFT and get liquidity on it and like, you know, make your non-fungible token fungible and get some coins and stuff like that. So there's a lot more like cool stuff as well that's happening in that space being built out.
All right. So you mentioned a while back that Step has acquired a Solana floor. So my question is, what is Solana floor and what are your plans?
Yeah, totally. Yeah, so Solana floor, it's the number one NFT analytics data provider in the Solana ecosystem. That's the first thing. So for people that know Solana and know NFTs, Solana floor is the place that they go to find out like what's the historical floor prices, what are the collections, you know, how many users per collection, real-time stats, like real-time like feed of you know, people buying and selling, what are they buying and selling, how many buyers versus how many sellers. So there's a lot of different like stats that we put into it, but Solana floor has been doing that for quite a while. So how we sort of came at it was initially Step as the portfolio dashboard, like, and if we have to show someone's price of their NFT in their portfolio, because it's like an important part, right? So then we were like, okay, how do we get all of the marketplace data? And then we found Solana floor. We're like, hey, do you have an API? Can we integrate? So we did that. And then now we got pricing into Step. And over the weeks and months, we were working a bit with the Solana floor team. And we're like, hey, this is really cool. We don't, as like a DeFi focused, that's sort of where we grew from. Like, we don't really know all the craziness that's going on NFT land. I'm totally like not the best expert on that. So we were like, okay, this is an area that's lacking in Step. And probably what we should do is we recently launched a data fund last year. And the purpose of that was to give grants, invest in, and potentially acquire good data projects on Solana. So we're like, hey, are you guys sort of interested in this? And we got talking, and eventually, hey, you know, it was it worked out well, and we decided to agree on an acquisition of Solana floor and the team. So now they're part of Step. Solana floor is being built out more. Step's a team of like 15 at the moment, full time, and a couple of other sort of part times here and there. So the team is growing from sort of the humble beginnings of just the two of us. So that's really cool to see. But yeah, for us, NFTs was like the blind spot. And now we have like the best people that we can find to like solve that blind spot and continue to build it out. And then also, yeah, just to add, you know, more to the upcoming Step Analytics product as well. So we're building out a lot more of that sort of Nansen style stuff, and having like proper NFT analytics is critical to that. So that will be coming across from Solana floor. So yeah, that's sort of the reasoning behind the acquisition. I think it's working out really well, and it's a weight off our shoulders, because if we didn't do that, then we would have to go and like understand all of like a whole new world of everything.
Yep.
It's like, you know, there's 37 different paying projects that are clients. There's like another three different like enterprise API users, like some are wallets and stuff. We would have to go and learn all of that, have brand new conversations with everyone. It would take a lot of effort and we'd have to hire a bunch of people to do that. So it's like, well, this probably worked out for the best.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great deal. And I completely agree with the NFT angle. There's so much going on and there's not enough data. And it's one of the things we've been trying to push at CG as well. So yeah, completely agree with the acquisition. It was inevitable.
Yeah. And bear markets, I think, are good times for these things as well, right? Like consolidation and stuff like that.
Exactly, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Now, you kind of explain what the Solana floor is, and you know, we went through kind of the NFT ecosystem in Solana. But as I mentioned before, there's quite a bit, there's more than just NFTs happening on Solana, right? Over the last few weeks, there's been quite a lot of events. I think one of the biggest ones was the Solana hack. You know, there's Slope, there's Crema. And my question to Step is, has this affected your protocol's direction, you know, or affected your plans in any way?
No. So that's the short answer. But yep. I guess like taking a look back at those things. So firstly, like it wasn't a Solana hack. It was like a couple of projects on Solana.
Yep.
So just like Ethereum, like there's been tons of hacks on Ethereum, but they're Ethereum projects, you know, not the actual blockchain. So for people out there, that's one thing to keep in mind. Second thing, the Slope wallet affected a lot of users. I think it was like, I don't know, 7,000 or something like that, or 8,000 people at the end of it. There was a total of $5 million, I think, that was stolen. But like a couple of days prior to that, there was a $200 million bridge hack for like ERC-20 tokens. So like if we were to keep it in perspective, like it's like, you know, a lot less than some of the other hacks going on. But having said that, clearly it's not good. So look, I don't think it's deterred many people. In fact, I think it's maybe reinforced the idea of everyone should have a hardware wallet. And I think that's pretty reasonable advice. Like I saw a lot of people, including ourselves, like when this was all going on, people were going, oh, you know, am I affected? Am I not? It's like, well, just have a hardware wallet. And then like nobody can move the funds out of your wallet without you like literally plugging in and pressing buttons. So I think that's some good advice, right? So maybe that's a silver lining and something good to come out of it. Like I guess another thing, does it impact maybe new users that want to come to the ecosystem? I think a lot of people that come to alternative L1s like Solana, it's maybe their first time. We see a lot of people, first or second time, a lot of people usually from like BNB ecosystem or like some other ecosystem, something like that. They come to Solana, like they've never really used Ethereum, so they don't really know sort of all of that kind of stuff or the history. And they don't really care about that, to be honest. They're just there because either like they've learned about NFTs or it's their favorite yield farm and it's cheap and they can put in like $50 and it's not going to cost them like $50 in fees just to do stuff. So I think a lot of those people, like they're still going to be coming, but maybe through different avenues. So I think what that means is maybe like different wallets, maybe educational resources. You know, that should really help people, I think, onboard better. So we're launching some educational stuff in the next day or so. There's going to be like a step.finance/learn. So people will be able to like see guides and stuff of how to use things, how to get started. I think that will help a lot. And ultimately, like I think the ecosystem needs more of that. But yeah, so we'll see how it goes. Not a huge effect on us or the rest of the ecosystem, I don't think, but kind of reinforces a couple of things that people should do.
That's cool. You know, you mentioned Learn. I think it's at CG, we're also trying to pioneer a product on Learn as well. And yeah, we completely agree. Education is a big part. It's the biggest barrier to crypto. And yeah, it needs to be addressed more. I think people take it for granted.
Yeah. Yeah. Look, I think CG has been like pioneering a lot of that stuff as well. Like certainly take inspiration from what you guys are doing and the article that you guys put out. Like there's a lot of useful stuff that's in there that I think like people don't appreciate a lot of that as well, because often that's the first time that people like find it. Like they will Google search like a coin or a project or something, and up will come the CoinGecko, you know, information about it. So yeah, like it's hugely important for like the first steps that people take.
Thank you. Okay. So I'm going to play a bit of devil's advocate here regarding the Solana TVL ecosystem again, because like you mentioned, you've integrated about 95% of projects. And, you know, there was a one big controversy a few weeks back about the Macalina brothers. I'm not sure if I pronounced it correctly, but basically it was a bunch of devs that were folding their own projects TVL between one another again and again. And, you know, it's kind of boosting the figures of the total TVL of Solana. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, so I was one of the ones that was like the first to hint at this during like another hack that happened, like the Cashio, which was one of the sort of Saber affiliated projects, which is what these guys were from. So I'm glad that that finally came out. That was a thing which we had all suspected, we being a lot of projects in the ecosystem. Like I would talk to other people about this as well, and we all kind of knew. Like I remember having conversations at the last conference last year in November at Solana Breakpoint, and like, yeah, I had dinner with people and they're like, do you think that these two projects are literally the same guy? And we're like, yeah, I think that there's some reasons why we think that. So I'm glad that finally came out. It's not good, obviously. Mm-hmm. And I think what they were doing is like they were trying to juice the TVL in their own sort of AMM, which was Saber. So they would go and create, or like, I don't know if they would, or someone else who there's their friend or whatever, would make some other project, and then that would have a coin, but then that project was distributing their coin for people that staked initially in Saber. So they were able to, like, you know, leverage up yep. the TVL that way. And it actually, in some respects, it put out of business some of the other competitors to Saber, because everyone saw the TVL rising in Saber like so much more than the others. And they were like, oh, that must mean that like nobody cares about the others, when it was all kind of like just smoke and mirrors, right? So yeah, look, it's a shame, but I think finally the other guys have got vindicated now. So so yeah, people are checking out like other ones, like Mercurial was another example. They had a good stable swap program, but they just got out competed because Saber had all of these random coins being dropped everywhere. So now Mercurial is making a comeback, which is cool to see. Not good. I think those guys are leaving the ecosystem though anyway. So it's kind of like good riddance, like see you later kind of thing.
So it's interesting that the way you described it, that how you guys actually knew, but you know, there was really no definitive proof. It's not like you can just tell everyone, it's not going to do anything.
That's it. Like,
really, someone else had to bring it up themselves and, you know, share it the world.
Exactly. Like, so I couldn't really go out there and just go and say, hey, this person is X, because nobody really had all of the details together and it was kind of a little bit sketchy. So, you know, it probably wouldn't come off very well. So, someone had to, I guess, like connect all of the dots and put in all of the research. And, you know, I guess the journalist with that article did that. So,
So I'm going to ask a question about STEP again, back to topic. You know, we've discussed quite a number of different things, but is there anything interesting so far from your perspective in the ecosystem that is not NFTs? So is there anything that you've seen, you know, some interesting innovations that, you know, you felt like people should be more aware of, that is not seen on other L1s or L2s?
Yeah, so I think a lot of the derivatives that are being made is maybe one area that Solana does really well in. So I mentioned before, like the perpetual futures, like perps and stuff like that. That's one area which Solana has like multiple DEXs that do that all on the one chain. Mm-hmm. But then there's like a couple of layers above that. So then you have like options exchanges, which yes, Ethereum sort of started with some of those, but there's also things which are like, it's like a, I think you call it like squared perps, where it's like, you know, another one where it's like a perp that's multiplied by itself, and then that's another additional derivative on top. And then all of these sort of options protocols also have multiple vaults that are doing things, and they're like treasury management for project treasuries as well, using those vaults. Mm-hmm. So I think quite a few of those derivatives are actually unique. And the feature parity is beyond what you would see on DYDX or like PERP protocol or one of the other FL2s. So I think Solana does really well in that respect. I think Mango is one of the large sort of perp mm-hmm. markets. They recently yep. spoke about their V4, which is coming out, and that'll be like permissionless adding of assets or something along those lines in their post. So that could be really cool. You know, I'm not sure mm-hmm. other perp DEXs have that. So I think there's a couple of areas there which, so I guess what it comes down to is Solana really started as like the traders L1. You know, it was mm-hmm. Alameda there that was market making, and you know, Jump came on board and a bunch of other people. So a lot of like trader focused, and like traders need the speed and stuff like that. So yeah, now you've got a lot of trader focused products that's now met mm-hmm. the market. So I guess now you just need to onboard, Solana needs to continue to onboard those kind of users. I think there's a lot of people that's going to, you know, find interest in that. There's a couple of other sort of products that are built on top of those derivatives, like stablecoins, which are created. This is maybe another unique one, is the UXD protocol, I think, which it's like a long short thing. So it's like long spot and then short on the perp so that it's neutral. And then that neutral mm-hmm. thing actually creates a stablecoin. So you could say it's like a decentralized stablecoin because it exists on a DEX, but it's actually backed by a neutral position, which earns the funding rate. So
yeah,
that's pretty cool. You know, stuff like that, I think is quite cool and unique.
Yeah. So it's exact. I think that was the perfect description because that was the vibe I really got from the Solana ecosystem. A few weeks back, I also interviewed a person from Friction Labs who was building, it's basically a, complex financial derivatives product on Solana. And like you said, I guess that's where all the experimentation is. It's the ecosystem for complexity.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Yeah, I think trading and Friction's a great example of that. They have a lot of like really funky products that I don't even understand.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. But hey, you know, traders do, and that's their mm-hmm. market. That's what they're going for. So yeah, that's great.
So, would you say that the Solana ecosystem is kind of becoming more, you know, there are two parts to it, right? One is the trader side, and the other side is the NFT side, which is a completely different market. It's kind of, you know, the shape of the community is slowly becoming clearer. Would you say that's accurate?
Yeah, I think Solana still has the problem of these two communities are like in different circles, like they don't overlap mm-hmm. on a Venn diagram
or anything. At all.
Yeah, it was. I think it was that from Twitter that you could see like you could put in your Twitter address and then you could see like people that followed you and then mm-hmm. like how closely they followed other people, and basically if you were like closer together to certain people, it means that you followed the same kind of people. I remember doing that and seeing there was like a big difference between the DeFi people and the NFT people. And that was definitely the case on Solana. Like they have different influences, like different communities. They don't even really know that these other places exist for the most part. So I think that is, it's both a problem and an opportunity. Like the problem is that clearly these things are apart and, you know, maybe there's a lost opportunity there with everyone like NFT people not knowing about DeFi and likewise DeFi people not getting into the NFT things. But I think the opportunity there is, well, if someone can bridge that gap, then I think that's the first step. So that's why I think some of these like NFT lending protocols and like fungibility things that mm-hmm. make the NFT like tokens and that sort of stuff, I think that's really cool because that kind of introduces NFT people. And sometimes like on Step, you can put any wallet address into Step and then you can see like all of the stuff which that wallet's doing. Whenever we're looking at wallets associated with NFTs, it's like that's all they do. And there's no like, they don't have staking positions in some DeFi yield farm or anything like that. It's always just they have some Sol and then they have a bunch of NFTs. That's literally it. So I think that's like a good example of clearly someone needs to bridge that gap, maybe introducing more NFT people to like either the educational resources or like other protocols that do cool stuff that are kind of DeFi related. Maybe that's sort of the way to go about it. I don't know. Maybe I'm coming at it from like a DeFi focused perspective instead of NFT person, but hey, that's all I know. So yeah, someone needs to do that work. And I think at least we can try with a lot of the educational stuff that we're putting out soon. So we'll see how it goes.
Would you say Step is positioned to bridge that gap? Because from my perspective, it looks like, you know, you start off with data, but that's where it all starts, right? It's kind of closing the gap between the two communities.
Yeah, I think we're well placed to do that. Like, it's kind of like mm-hmm. CoinGecko, where it doesn't matter what community you're from, you kind of always end up on CoinGecko to find out information about stuff, right? So it's kind of what we see with Step as well. Maybe that's like NFT specific data on Solana floor, and then eventually you find your way back to Step. Or maybe it's like, okay, what's, show me my portfolio and more statistics against my portfolio. Okay, maybe that's on Step. I think certainly we can at least now try to bridge that gap now that we have the Solana floor sort of community coming over. So yeah, for us, that's going to be the exciting part, I think, in the next few months.
Yeah, cool. So we cover quite a lot of things, you know, it's kind of here and everywhere today about Solana and Step. And I just kind of want to round down the session with back at Step. You know, what are your plans for the next few months? And, you know, is there anything else you'd like to share to your audience before we close off the session?
Yeah. So I guess for the next few months, for the rest of this year, we really want to get our new product out, which I was sort of talking kind of similar to Nansen. That's where we want to get to. So we want to have a lot of project specific insights that are, we kind of differentiate it two ways. Like currently Step tells you everything about your wallet. So it's like you connect your wallet, you see everything, cool. That's like the status right now today. But what about stuff which is not your wallet? What about stuff that's the general protocol or just the general ecosystem? So the second product that we've been building for the last 3 months, that's like we're building like this mega indexer, which has been quite hard to do on Solana for various reasons, but that's going to be ingesting a lot of that data, and that will be spitting out essentially. There'll be like, actually, one of the things which I'm most interested about is a lot of the data platforms, they're kind of a bit web too. So it's like you need an email and a password, and like they store that. And some of them need a credit card. I don't want to do any of that. So we're building as well like a contract to handle like on-chain USDC like subscriptions and referrals as well. That'll be another really cool thing. So yeah, just on-chain contracts do a lot of that stuff and keep very Web3. So you just connect your wallet, and then it just works, and then you see the data that you need. So yeah, for the rest of this year, it's all about building out that that second product for us. So NFT analytics will be continuing to being built out. I think one cool thing on that front is an index. So Solana Floor currently has what's called the Blue Chip Index. We want to maybe make that on chain at some stage, which will be super exciting. So once it's on chain, it's an index of all of the NFTs on Solana. So it's kind of like this is where you see how everything's performing. If we put that on chain as a price feed, then now you can have a perpetual futures exchange accept that, and you know, now you can degen on floor prices of an index. So I think that's another really cool thing that we have in the pipeline, which should be happening soon. So yeah.
All right, that's so cool. You know, I would like the product.
There you go.
So yeah, is there anything else you'd like to share? You know, something about where we can reach or learn more about Step Finance?
Yeah, I think the best place is on Twitter. So Step Finance on Twitter. You can see us there. We've got all of our blog articles. We also have Step Data Insights newsletter. Again, Twitter's a good place for that. You can follow the links. And we put out every week or two like some new data insights that's relevant to what's happening in the Solana ecosystem. So yeah, please reach out. I'm George underscore Harrop on Twitter. And yeah, you know, happy to answer any questions or anything like that.
Okay, then I think with that, it leaves it off perfectly. Thank you so much, George, for your time. Happy to have you here today.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been a pleasure.
All right, that wraps up the show. Thank you for listening to the CoinGecko podcast with Bobby. If you like our show and want to know more, check out podcast.coingecko.com or please leave us a review on iTunes. If you have any feedback, do drop us an email at hello@coingecko.com. Join us for more next week. See ya!
This podcast is provided as part of the overall information on cryptocurrency contained on our website, is for your general information only, and does not howsoever constitute any endorsement, financial or investment advice, nor any solicitation or offer of securities or other financial instruments. CoinGecko and the podcast presenter makes no warranties, implied or express, of any kind in relation to this podcast, including, without limitation, the accuracy and updatedness of its content. All opinions and recommendations there in the podcast are based on the personal opinion of the presenter. Please conduct your own research and procure professional advice should you, at your own risk, decide to howsoever invest or trade in relation to the content contained in the podcast.